Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening. This is Address Unknown. In this episode number 32, we'll be talking about our time in what has quickly become one of our favorite countries in South America, Colombia. But before we get into this episode, dear, we do a little check-in. Just want to know how you're feeling as we prepare for our last country of this entire trip.
I know. It's sad. I have a lot of mixed feelings, I guess. Like, I'm excited to put down some roots and have some sort of routine, I guess, for a while. But it also is super scary.
Yeah. So we are technically, we're beyond Colombia, but we are in El Salvador now. So we've gone all the way up through Central America to be honest.
This is our last new country.
This was country number 30 of this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one before we head to Mexico, which is our final destination, where we will be spending a few months in Ciudad, Mexico, taking Spanish lessons, working on the pottery wheel potentially.
Yeah. And just to clarify, we've been to 37 countries, but 30 new countries on this trip.
Thank you for correcting me on that. 37 total for the year and a half so far.
Okay.
Anyway, we're a little hesitant, scared.
Yeah, a lot of things, because especially going north, right, as we get closer to Estados Unidos.
Yeah. Look at that Spanish class is already working, Vajanica.
We've been in Latin America since September. There's a lot more gringos.
Yeah.
There's a lot more Americans and
some are Pizza Hut.
A lot of Americans suck. And I think you just get used to not hearing English for so long. And then all of a sudden it's just like an assault to the senses is what I will say.
Yeah. At the end of this rainbow, the pot of gold is actually a resume and a job interview at one point, which is scary as hell.
Mm-mm.
I haven't had a job since June of 2022. I don't know what the shit I'm going to do.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick pause before we get into Colombia. All right. After hearing all of our fears being manifested.
It's interesting. We started the podcast with the fears of the trip, and on our final countries of the trip, we are actually talking about our fears again. So full circle.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, thank you again for listening. As Farber said, this is Address Unknown. And in this episode, we are going to be focusing on our time that we spent in Colombia. We were in Colombia back in 2018 over the holidays with our friends, Stephen and Bridget, who we travel with a lot. If you listen to the Croatia episode, they came to Croatia and we got to hang out with them for a week. Back in 2018, we all went to Colombia together for our first time and we absolutely loved it. I think you said it. It's one of our favorite countries. And so we're very excited to, especially because when we were there before, it was over the holidays, as I mentioned. And if you ever travel in Latin American countries over any sort of holiday, you know that basically everything is closed. So we experienced this in Colombia. We've been in Mexico City over the holidays where they actually closed Chapultepec Park, which is a massive park. Like, literally, no one could get into the park on Christmas Day.
There was nothing to do on Christmas Day in Mexico City.
So, and it was the same, similar, I think, in Colombia well.
Latino.
So we just were like, all right, it's going to be a little bit different. So anyway, I flew from Guayaquil, Ecuador, early in the morning. I had a quick little layover in Bogota where I went through customs and immigration, thank God, and then continued on to Cartagena because I was going to be meeting my friend, my bestie, Courtney, for some much-needed girl time. So Mark stayed in Ecuador, did his surf camp, as he talked about in the last episode. Courtney and I landed at basically the same time in Cartagena, but just a second ago when I said, thank God I went through customs in Bogota, it is because it took Courtney almost 2 hours to get through customs in Cartagena. It was a long, long wait time. So she finally made it through, though, and obviously we had lots of hugs, lots of pictures, and we headed to our hotel, Casa de Alba Hotel, a tiny little boutique, beautiful, within the old walled city. And this historic hotel had an opening in the center with tons of plants and greenery and a small little plunge pool. It had a restaurant, it had a rooftop with another little plunge pool and absolutely stunning views of the city. We arrived, dropped our bags. We were starving after waiting for, 2 hours of immigration time. And so we immediately headed to the rooftop at the Movich Hotel for some bites and wine. This place has an amazing view. We watched the sunset and we found ourselves there a couple more times throughout our trip just because it was such a nice way to kind of start the evening. So night one, we headed to La Cerveceria to have dinner. We ate there when we were there the first time.
Must go when in Cartagena.
Yeah.
If you can get it. Well, there's no you can't get a res. So yeah, but you should go no matter what. Wait in line, do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, it was incredible. And the food is consistently good. You have to get a table outside on the sidewalk because then you get to watch all of the insane street performers that come by and obviously want tips, and they're well deserving of them because they put on an incredible show.
There was an amazing Michael Jackson impersonator who remains. He wasn't there?
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, I thought he remained there at this time. So maybe COVID sort of damaged his dancing skills.
It was
skills.
A different Michael Jackson impersonator. I don't think it was. This guy was not as good.
Okay.
Maybe it's the same one. Maybe he's lost his mojo over the years. Who knows? Anyway, after dinner, even though we always do this, we always say like night one, we're going to have an early night. Didn't happen.
Courtney and Jonica don't have this. That's as far as I've found in my history of knowing Courtney and knowing Jonica together, there's no early nights.
No, no. So we headed to
trouble.
So after dinner, we headed to El Quimico Bar. And this place is very cool. It has 2 or 3 levels, depending on what night you go. The bottom floor is a bar, cocktail bar. The second floor also has bars and dancing. And the rooftop, if it is open, is very dance focused. So we went there. The rooftop wasn't open this night, but we had some fun, had some dancing, had some drinks. Great time. The next day we had booked chairs at the Macani Beach Club. There's tons of different beach clubs in Cartagena because the beach in the city is not so great. So a lot of these places you can buy day passes and they will come, they'll pick you up on a boat and you get your chair. You also, depending on the package that you book, you get some drinks and lunch included. We also decided to, of course, being Courtney and I, splurge and get massages while we were there. It was an incredible and chill day. So in addition to the beach clubs, I think we did this when we went there as well. We went to the Blue Apple, I think it was called, which was super cool.
That's right.
Chill.
That's right.
I read Ryan Cabrera was there.
For anybody who knows MTV, what was it? It was
he dated Ashley Simpson.
Was he on the Hills or something like
no.
this?
No. Maybe.
He
dated one girl from the Hills.
He was a B-list C-list celebrity, CD. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And we saw him there, and Bridget and Jonica knew.
Right away.
You guys are like, there's Ryan Cabrera. And Steve and I look at each other, and we're like, Ryan, who? We thought it was somebody you'd known from high school or something. We were just confused. Turns out, yeah, he was like a C-list celebrity who was on MTV and dated Ashley Simpson.
He was like a singer. Yeah, he dated Ashley Simpson. I think he dated Adriana Partridge from the Hills.
He's right up there with Kevin Federline. If anybody's interested in the type of character this individual is.
Anyway, that's what happened in 2018. We thought we were pretty cool because we were at the same beach club as Ryan Cabrera. Anyway, this beach club that Courtney and I went to, bigger, more chairs. It had a little bit more of a vibe. We're like Blue Apple. It was very chill, super fun. That night, we had dinner at Agua de Leon. And I think we both agreed, Courtney and I, that it was the best meal of the trip. It was incredible. Highly recommend if you go. And when we left dinner, it was pouring rain. Literally, the streets were flooded, but we were on our way to Cafe Havana. Basically, like you stepped into Cuba. There's always live music. There's tons of people dancing.
They roll cigars while you're there too, Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Like something with hats too. Like
the Havana Club hat, yeah, the white, yeah, yeah, white palm hat. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like a whole thing. It's a little cheesy, but you just kind of have to do it, especially if you haven't been to Cuba, as we have not. The next day, we did a walking tour of the city to learn some of the history and get our culture on.
I'm really proud to hear that the two of you did this while we were having a ladies' week. I'm real happy that you guys got into culture. We don't normally do this. No,
we
don't. Very proud of you two.
But it was great. We saw a lot. We learned a lot. And that night, once again, we ended up back at the three-story bar. This time the rooftop was open and we danced the night away. Finally, our second to last day was boat day. Courtney and I love to rent ourselves a boat. This is what we do. You go island hopping. And we just had this boat to ourselves. We had a lovely captain and first mate, neither of which spoke a single word of English. And Courtney, sorry to call you out on this, has not retained any of her Spanish that she learned in high school or maybe thereafter. So the first mate would come over and just talk at me. I would probably understand about 50% of what he was saying. And I would turn to Courtney and translate. It'd be like, okay, so these are the Blue Islands. That's Pablo Escobar's old house and his plane is down there. And I'm sure the guy was like, that took 2 seconds. You obviously didn't say all the information that I said, but you know what? I translated what I could. And so that's where we were. Boat was incredible. Like I said, you hop around to the different islands, you swim, the water is insanely turquoise, crystal clear, warm, so much fun. We went and had lunch on the beach on one of the islands. It was an incredibly perfect day. And then it was our last day and we chilled by the plunge pool on the rooftop of our hotel. And sadly, after that, it was time to say goodbye and it was time for Courtney to head back to the States and for me to continue on to Medellin to reunite with Farber.
Perhaps the listener is thinking to themselves, Jonica's already on a vacation, but what you just spoke about seemed like a vacation from the vacation.
Well, it's Courtney's vacation.
And it also seems that your vacation was a little different than the way we travel.
Yeah, of course. Courtney and I always travel differently together.
Okay.
You know this.
So the common denominator here is Courtney, okay? And I love Courtney. She's Jonica's best friend. Everyone knows this. They grew up together. But it does seem as though that Jonica's life is a little bit better when I'm not around and Courtney is in my place because the hotels are nicer, the food is better, the wine tastes more delicious, the water's more blue.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. It's just how it is. Deal with it. Anyway, so we arrive in Medellin.
Well, this is Mark and Jonica now. Okay, so now
we're back
to
together.
Yeah,
just, we're back together.
Just now we're reunited.
You had a horrible travel day, actually. Like, you didn't get in until super late, so I got to, like, get to the Airbnb and just chill out. And it was a stunning Airbnb. It was actually
it was really good.
Nice.
It was really good.
Our Airbnb was in Medellin's Manila Poblado sector. And once again, this was our second time in Medellin, but we wanted to take some time, right? Like we weren't cramming things in every single day. Like, I think we stayed there 5 nights.
Yeah, I think 5 or 6 nights we stayed in this.
Yeah, we made sure that sometimes we like to do this, right? Like, we make sure that we have a washer and dryer. We make sure that we have a gym. And so we can just get some sort of sense of normalcy. We can cook some meals. But this time we did do something new that we didn't do the previous time we were in Medellin. We went to the Pablo Escobar Museum, which is in one of his former stash houses. They have a ton of his old cars and all these other crazy toys and desks that he would use to smuggle cocaine in. Like, it was actually, I don't know, it was a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about the history of his family, the family that he was involved with, the people that wouldn't talk to him because of what he was doing.
There was a lot of, like, hidden tunnels and automobile type stuff. So he had the first bulletproof Mercedes he had made where the glass was an inch and a half thick and the tires were solid rubber so that you could get shot at. And it had been. There was bullet holes all over this thing. And there was like, this was one of the coolest things. Sorry to sidetrack. There was a little moped and the moped was painted. One side was red and the other side was black.
Yeah.
And the reason was they could, if the police or anybody saw somebody driving these mopeds, they couldn't identify from one side that it was a black moped.
Well, someone would say it was red.
It was red. Someone would say it was black. And
so people, they had no idea.
Witnesses could never, they couldn't corroborate the story.
Very clever.
Very clever.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Anyway, sidebar.
No, it's fine. We learned a lot. It was great. It was a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. The El Poblado neighborhood is very lively. Tons of bars, tons of restaurants, tons of malls. We had great cocktails at Mombasa Rooftop, followed by an incredible dinner at Carmen. There's a lot of really good food and really good bars in Medellin.
Colombia on the whole amazing. Is a great food destination.
We had amazing lunch one afternoon at Alambique. Super cute, very eclectically designed, very up my alley. I was like in heaven there and the food was very, very good. Again, the food in Colombia is just incredible. Love it. It was Thanksgiving while we were there, and we stayed in that night, even though there was a lot of restaurants that had prefix Thanksgiving menus and stuff.
But we're like, no. You know where this is going. It's going to be a terrible meal. This is Thanksgiving, American style. And you're like,
Yeah, wait for our Christmas story coming up here soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we made dinner at home and had a nice Thanksgiving in. Medellin is great. It has an incredible vibe. It's modern. It has culture. It has a great food bar scene and feels incredibly safe. And it's very easy to get around.
It's very green. There's leafy greens, like plants everywhere. Jungle. It's a good climate. It's cold at night. It's warm during the day.
Yep.
And there's a fashion scene. There's a food scene. There is a art gallery scene. Like it's very bohemian, for lack of better words. That's maybe why we've
I think it's one of
it.
Our favorite cities.
Yeah.
We really like it, and I'm really glad that we went back.
All right. After some city time in Medellin, we were preparing for a short trip up to the northern part of Colombia to visit Santa Marta, which is home to Tayrona National Park.
This was new for us.
We had not been
to this part of the country before.
Yep, Tayrona is actually located on the Caribbean Ocean, and it consists of 70 square miles of protected marine and jungle habitat. But it's literally just like jungle meets one beautiful beach after another. And to be clear, the beaches are not all safe. There's some very serious like undertow. You can't swim in all of them.
No.
But it's visually stunning.
It looked like the Philippines. The beach is dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when getting some information about Tayrona National Park, which we talked to our hotel about, and we were like, how long will this take? How do we get there? There were several approaches that they gave us. There were several ways to enter the park. There were several ways to get to these beaches to see them, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
And we had rented a car, so we could get there however we wanted.
There was a lot of mixed messaging, I think, but at the end of the day, the consensus was that the distance from where you park your car at the park's entrance to get to these like this main beach that is the most desirable and the most beautiful, is it would take you 2 to 2.5 hours to hike in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were young and agile. I think we have some pretty good physical ability. And so we thought we could do this. We'll pack some water, we'll bring some snacks, and we'll have a little picnic on the beach when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
On our way to Cabo San Juan Beach, which is like the most ideal place, it's the end point of the national park, we didn't take into consideration that it had rained pretty heavily the night before.
It had been raining a lot, like crazy torrential downpours, like insane.
And so what we thought was like, okay, it's humid in the jungle, sure, it's a little damp, no big deal. We start off on this 2 to 2.5 hour trek, and it's on an elevated boardwalk, so you're walking through the jungle. There's lots of like vegetation, lots of like animal life, birds primarily, lizards, that sort of thing. And slowly but surely the boardwalk ends and it turns into a trail. and the trail starts to turn into a little bit muddy, which makes things a little more difficult to navigate.
I love that you say a little bit muddy. Like, this was insane. I have never been so dirty and covered in mud and so sweaty and so hot. It was disgusting.
So it was a little bit difficult to navigate because it started to get very muddy. Yes. Not a little bit muddy.
No, very muddy.
And the trail kind of segued off in many directions. People chose their own trail, but the mud starts to get, you know, 6 inches deep and then like a foot deep. Mm-hmm. And you start to find shoes. Mm-hmm. You start to find sandals. You see that many people who had come for the day are quickly turning around and going back. They're not going to make it to the beach. So we're doing our best. Like, Jonica was literally landing on coconut shells that had been tipped over and logs which people had put down over to cover the trail. I had rubber sandals on, so like a croc type sandal thing. So they were just covered. It didn't matter. I could wash them off in the rivers and all that. But
I was in my running shoes, though.
You were having a hard time.
I was really trying to not ruin them. And I thought for sure this was it. Like, they're going to be done after this.
So it's a sweaty slog to get to the beach. No joke. It was 2.5 hours, but it was like an hour and a half of mud.
We have no pictures.
We didn't take a single photo.
Because it was so difficult hiking through this insane amount of mud, trying to make sure. It felt like the never-ending story where like Atreyu drowns in the mud.
Quicksand.
The swamp.
Yeah.
And so you're not able to really enjoy it because you're just trying not to sink and lose your shoes. And I was like, if I take my phone out, I'm going to drop my phone in the mud. So we have no photographic evidence of this entire journey.
No, but we did eventually get to the beach.
We made it to the beach.
And we got photos there. And it was nice. It's a clearing and opens up. And it's a little peninsula that goes out into the ocean. And there's blue water on both sides. It's very picturesque.
Mm-hmm.
Very much worth the hike, I'd say. But getting back was a little bit different of a situation. This was not, we were not going to hike it back. And facing a 2 to 2.5 hour mud-filled trail, Jonica was sold on taking pack mules.
They weren't back. Pack mules. They were horses.
They were mules.
They were horses. They're horses. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So they tell us these horses will get you back, mules or horses, will get you back in 1 hour. And I don't know that necessarily we were intrigued by the timing. Like, we weren't pressed for time. We didn't need to get anywhere. So I couldn't really understand why we wouldn't just walk back. But Jonica's like, Mark, this will take an hour. Let's do it. And we get to ride these horses.
I just thought, like, I just don't want to get in the mud again. I thought this would be a cleaner option.
Holy shit, we were proven wrong. So we get, first of all, we get on the horses. It's like four or five of us. There's no instruction. And you know, we've talked about horses a lot on this podcast. You get on, they size you up. Like, some of the stirrups don't fit right, so they move them around, or they're like, have you been on a horse before? Or they ask, like, this is how, you know, you hold the reins. None of that happens. And they just hit one of them on the ass, and the horses start going.
We just start going. And our guide wasn't even with us.
Our guide was not with us.
And we're like, where are we going?
But the horses quickly pick up speed. And the horses are going through the muddy path that we had walked in on. Just, they're galloping through it and trotting through it, et cetera, et cetera. So mud begins to go everywhere. Not just like, oh, mud's on your shoes or mm-hmm. mud's on your pants.
Everywhere.
Oh, let me backtrack. We weren't wearing pants. We were wearing running shorts. Because we had done the trek. So it's not like I'm wearing pants and shoes. I was wearing my sandals. You had your running shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
But we were wearing like exercise clothing, more or less.
Yeah.
And so the chafing begins. The mud's going everywhere, like in your mouth, in your face. It's in your hair. It's all over your back. Because whoever's in behind you, their horse kicks it up. And then whoever's in front of you, their horse kicks it back at you. And it just goes on and on and on for this whole hour.
It was terrifying, honestly, because also, some of the path is, like, it gets so tight.
It was a valley, like a mountainous valley.
And your stirrups, thankfully, have guards over the front of them. At first, I was like, why do they have these? And it's because you're literally careening against rocks.
Yeah, they're aluminum. They're like aluminum covers, like a little toe heel.
Yeah, you have to make sure to keep your legs in very tight. These horses were just, they were going. They were not taking this path slowly. They're up and down. And the crazy part, too, was, like, people that were hiking still to the beach or hiking
on
back,
the same path,
they just have to, like, get out of the way. Like, these horses are just coming at them a million miles an hour. And, it was very interesting. The two people that were with us, I think, were very, very terrified. They obviously were not horse people. Our guide was very impressed with my riding, remember?
Yep. Yeah, he was impressed with your riding, and he called me a caballero. He's like, ooh, buen caballero. And I was like, well, I've been on a horse, just not in a muddy terrain like this.
So no, what we thought would be, it was faster, but we thought it would be cleaner, and it absolutely was not.
That's true. We'd made it back in half the time, and all of our clothing had to be washed.
Well, yeah, thank goodness they had some showers.
All of it. Yeah, they had showers at the end of it. Everything had to be washed.
Yeah,
it was
insane.
It was a mud show.
Yeah.
Thankfully for us, we were staying at the Kantawa Spa and Resort. So it was like it had all the spa services you would assume, right? Like all the massage stuff and all that sort of thing. But a steam room.
Mm-hmm.
It had a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
They had hot tubs.
Yep.
And the pool had these water jets, like not below water, but actually that came out like a huge tube. And then they had like rain. If anybody knows Spa Castle in Queens, New York, it was like that. We took full advantage of the fact there was no one there. One night brought a ton of rain, which we had become kind of accustomed to, as Jonica mentioned, because you're in the jungle right of northern Colombia, so it does rain. It rained almost every day, but it was short. But this had been a consistent rain all day into the night. And that evening, we're just chilling out. The sun had already set, but we start hearing this, like, it kind of sounds like a generator or some construction equipment. Like something's moving, like a backhoe is moving around. And we're like, what is that? So I made my way towards the river, and the river is overflowing. Earlier in the day, you could see there were boulders and rocks in the river, none of which is visible now. The water has risen at least 6 to 9 feet, and it's like coming around the trees. It's exceeded the banks. It's a little nerve-wracking because we're like, what's going to happen? It also cut all the water and power off to the resort that night.
Mm-hmm.
So next day, by the afternoon, power is back on, but the river had clearly had a physical effect on the operations of the hotel.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. After a lot of rain, private spa, and a lot of mud, it was time to move on and head to Bogota. Bogota, super large city, incredibly spread out, so it's not the easiest to get around. We got an Airbnb in Zone G, which is a very popular area for students. There's a lot of malls, bars, and restaurants all within walking distance. This building that our Airbnb was in had more security than anything I've ever come across in my entire life.
You would think that this was like somewhere near an embassy, like for like the staff to feel comfortable in like a dangerous country. First, the neighborhood was not dangerous. I mean, you couldn't get from past the front door into the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was a commercial building, like an office building, because there was
turnstiles
to get into the elevator bay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Literally. So we go, you have a key card and you have to use that to get in the front door.
That's right.
And then you have to use it again to get into the actual building. And then you have to use it again to get
to the turnstiles.
And you get in the elevator. We thought we had to use an elevator, but it turned out you didn't have to.
Why?
I don't know why.
Because when you get off the elevator, you have to use it again.
You still have to, yes. If you want to get into the floor that you're staying on, you have to use your key card again to get onto the floor. You actually have to use the key card to get off of your floor, too, when you're leaving.
That's right. So if you were...
Even if you're leaving the turnstile.
So if you had the guests over or something, you have to literally escort them from your apartment out of the building.
It was worse than Target headquarters, which I always thought was like a crazy, very secure place. But this was... I've never had to go through so many points where I had to scan my key card.
We talked about going to see River Plate in Buenos Aires, the soccer game, and the amount of like checkpoints we had to pass to get into our very front row, very nice seats. I totally understand the need for security, and it's a Latin American country and it's a football stadium. I get it. This was more challenging.
Yeah, it was insane. One evening we had an absolutely incredible dinner at El Chato. Highly recommend it if you're ever in Bogota. We took full advantage of the gym in the building while we were there. Everything, yeah, it was perfect.
Great apartment.
Yeah, it was really, really good. We did go back because, again, we went to Bogota when we were there in 2018 with Stephen and Bridget. But we went back to the Botero Museum because it's free and it's also just a great museum. And I love his art.
His art is amazing. And it is like two floors. It's a large space.
Yeah, it's an old house.
It's an old house, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a middle courtyard. And it's just nice because it is free. So you don't feel any pressure to stay there a long period of time if you've been there before.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And we walked around the old town a little bit more than we did previously. And so while we're walking around at one point, I hear November rain in the coming from the distance. And I'm sure not everyone knows this, but our last song that was played at our wedding party by our friend and DJ Michael Gray was November Rain. And it's a very happy and yet traumatizing memory for me because it's one of the world's longest songs.
Just so people understand, November Rain is a classic Guns N' Roses song from Use Your Illusion number 2. It's from early 90s. It is a 10-minute, almost 11-minute song.
Yes.
And it was the last song of our wedding years and years and years ago. And
it's not, it's like not slow. It's not fast. It's not really something you can dance to.
It's an awesome fucking song.
I'm not arguing that it's an awesome song. I still get heart palpitations when I think about being in the middle of the crowd at our wedding party for 11 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck to do.
But this guy, this drummer, had set up his whole...
A whole kit. Mm-hmm.
And he just played the drums.
Yep.
So the music was playing via
a laptop
or something. Yeah. Like the actual guitar riffs. He just had the drum kit there.
And he was an incredible drummer.
Very good.
Really, really good. And he drew a very large crowd. So we applauded, we tipped, and then we went on our way. Went to the Bogota Museum of Modern Art. Very small, not something that you have to visit, but if you have time, go.
It's worth it. It's three floors, pretty small, but it's got some good stuff. At least it did when we were there to see it. So worth checking out if you have time.
Yeah.
Not a must-see.
No, because there are other things that we had done the last time that we were there, right? There's the Oro or Gold Museum, which is super cool, but we had done that when we were there previously, so we didn't do it this time. Or the Salt Cathedral, which is a half-day trip. You have to go outside of the city, but very worth going to.
I would say if you're going to be in Bogota, that's probably a must-do. It's a salt mine, and in the bottom of it is an actual cathedral, and there's pools and stuff.
So cool.
It's really cool. That's worth going to.
Yeah, we just didn't. Go back.
You need to go twice. No.
Yeah, exactly. We had read about a very large local market, the Palo Comal Market. And so in the morning, we hopped on a bus. The bus didn't stop where it was supposed to stop. So we had a long walk back to try to get to the market. The first time that we were in Bogota, we did this bike tour. And this guy was an amazing tour guide. He showed us all around town, and we got to this street, and he was like, "This street, don't ever cross it. This is a street that tourists should never cross. We're going to though, because we're on a tour, we're on our bikes, we can go super fast." But he's like, "Don't stop, and just know if you're ever walking around Bogota, don't cross this street."
To be fair, it's not like the jaywalking was the problem. It was a geographic border. So it's like between the haves and the have nots. And it's one road that is very distinctly clear. Do not go on the other side.
As soon as you cross the street, there are prostitutes. There are people shooting up. There are people obviously wasted, stumbling around. It is not clean. And you instantly are like, this is not safe. Like, I should not be here.
It's the other side of the tracks.
Yes, exactly. So we're walking to the market and we cross a street and instantly start to see all of those things again. And I'm like, "Farber, this is the street. This is the street that the bike tour guy told us never to cross. And here we are. We crossed it and we're walking through."
It was 11:30 in the morning. It wasn't a big deal.
So
But they were all there. All those characters were there this time as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So we walked through the neighborhood. We just kind of purposely walked and kept our eyes down. And I was very nervous. I did not like being there.
Jonica
one
was
bit.
Furious. I was holding that purse so tight.
I was so pissed. I was like, "This is the street. This, he told us, don't do it. and we did it. But anyway, we made it, thankfully, safe and sound to the market, and it was incredible. Massive, massive, massive market. So many things for sale, goods,
flowers,
food.
Wood carvings,
we got
art.
Lost multiple times. Yeah, just like, it's a huge, multiple stories up and down, and it was crazy. We got some produce. It was really good. We went and got a really amazing lunch. What was it? It was like pig and rice and stuff wrapped in a banana leaf. And
yep.
It was like all of what, like $2.50, $3 or
yep.
something.
Yeah, it was great.
It was incredible. We did not walk home from through the neighborhood again. We got an Uber. And then that evening we had gotten reservations at the very popular Andres DC. Andres is a chain. There are multiple ones. But you have to make reservations. It's insanely popular. It kind of feels like a Latin version of TGI Fridays.
Yeah, I definitely got that vibe. There was flair. They wore flair.
A lot of flair, over the top decorations everywhere, huge menu, lots of people there for their birthday. But it's, you know, it's cooler because it's South America, right? Like it's got a good vibe.
There was, you know, TGI Fridays stopped allowing people like bartenders to light drinks on fire and things like that. Not at Andres DC. This was a Latin version, as you said, yes, with less rule and less red tape.
There was a band.
There was a huge band.
A huge band. People started dancing.
They were playing the Black Eyed Peas.
That's right. They were. Yeah. People got into it. Very, very much TGI Fridays, but Latin.
But with a dance floor.
Exactly. And so with that, it was time for us to leave Colombia once again and go back to the Bogota airport for the third time of this trip.
Okay, let's take a quick break before we get into our loves and our learns of our second time in Colombia.
Barbara, what is your love for Colombia this time around?
This one is an easy one for me. We just mildly touched on it in the before we took a break. It was the Palo Quemado Mercado. It was just huge. And there was like every tropical fruit you could think of, every vegetable. There was like spiritual stores that sold like the Jesus figurines and candles, and there was a huge floral section. It was massive. So that market itself, the other thing I liked about it is the ladies that run the stalls, because usually it's not men. It's usually women running the stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sit there and talk with each other and don't care about what you're doing until you come up to their stall.
Yeah. So then they start to hustle.
Yeah. They only hustle once they see you're paying attention. Other than that, they leave you alone.
Yeah.
So.
Which is rare for a market.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, it's like they're there. This is something that they're like. It's not a tourist market. It was a locals market.
No. I mean, I don't think we saw any other gringos.
No. Just great, great colors, great smells, like great local scene. I just love the place. And then to top it all off, we got this breakfast lunch situation. It was fresh. I think there were tamales. It was basically, it was pork.
But it wasn't like a corn meal.
No, it was pork. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That had been like on a spigot or something with rice because it was crispy skinned pork.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the head was in there.
Yep. And then there was a banana leaf, and it was massive. And we just kind of had like these little plastic forks and like ate away at it. And it was just perfect. It just brought the whole Colombia experience home. I loved it.
Yeah. No, it was great. We love a good market. All right. What was your learn?
So while visiting the Escobar Museum, which I thought was very interesting, as we said again earlier, it wasn't very large, but it did have a lot of his possessions in it, which was cool. A lot of the vehicles we talked about, it's a little hokey that there's some safes in there. They're like, this is where Pablo hid the money in these safes. And I was like, yeah, these are like painted though, articulately painted with like his image on them. I don't think that this was something that was there when he was alive.
No.
But it did give you some perspective on the vast amounts of money and then the things he had to do to launder it. Because of it, it was so much. It was like something crazy, like $30 million a month. So he had to have all these stash houses. He had to invest in all these cars that would protect his drivers. He had to invest in what's equivalent today, I guess, to a Latin American NASCAR team that he like would always win the races because he rigged them. But he had to just...
Or that he kidnapped Maradona.
He, for those who listened to the episode about Argentina, he did kidnap the world famous Maradona and made him play soccer against the Colombian national team.
Well, Pablo was playing too.
Yeah, Pablo Escobar, the fat guy, was playing.
Was playing on the other team.
Yeah.
And so Maradona had to lose.
He had to forfeit the game. Not forfeit, but he had to act like...
He threw the game. But he left with $3 million and like a shit ton of cocaine.
2 kilograms of cocaine and $3 million is what he gave him to get kidnapped and play.
But yeah, but he got kidnapped. Yeah. So that was a crazy story too.
I mean, and also like there's a how do I describe this? There is a positive and a negative light, obviously, for Pablo Escobar. Some people praise him. Some people believe he's a criminal. The guy ran for parliament and like almost he did win like a seat. And so like people clearly loved him. But it's also interesting that his family sort of 50% didn't participate. And
more than that, even
there was a close group of family members that did help. There was an uncle that helped. His parents had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Some of his brothers helped, but he was a big family. And a lot of people were totally against him in the family, and many people worked for him. So it was sort of this weird dichotomy, and they show you these pictures in the museum of all the family members and who was a participant and who was not. So to this day, the guy remains sort of a Robin Hood-esque character. We all know this. Depends upon where you are on the spectrum as far as like good or evil.
Because he did do a lot of really good things for the city of Medellin, right? He gave back a lot. They have the only train system that he helped put in place. He did a lot of good things, but then he killed a shit ton of people.
He killed a lot of people, including several like FBI agents. So there was some crime that was occurred as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is a break an egg to make an omelet situation. I think this was you either are with the guy and what he did, or you are against it. That's kind of where I see it as from our perspective. But anyway, that's the learn.
Times have not changed very much. Mm-hmm.
And so, we go from the negative, potentially negative, like idea of Pablo Escobar and the hurt he brought to a country to, my dear, your positive thing. Hopefully, it's a love.
Yeah, it's my love. It's just a blanket statement of I just love Colombia. Like, I love that country so much. I love people. I love the culture. Amazing food. Like, what's not to love? We've been twice. I would go back again. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I love it.
And just to add to it, it's extremely safe. Okay. Like, I know there is a sort of shadow that people feel about the drug cartels and all that sort of thing. Remember, that's all in northern Mexico, actually closer to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that shit doesn't happen so much anymore in Colombia. That's on the surface. That's tourist facing. Potentially it's in the government, there's massive corruption, but for a tourist going there, very safe. It's great.
Lovely.
Lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And closing it all out for Colombia, dear, your learn.
I mean, I knew this already, but we have very different thresholds for what is dangerous and what is not. And I say dangerous with air quotes, but when we walked across that street, that immediately were like, oh, okay, we've crossed the tracks. You were like, it's fine. It's daytime. No one's going to mess with us. And of course, I immediately thought of your story from Valpo when you were out running, right? And you saw a woman get mugged at like 9 a.m. And so I'm like, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. If someone wants to mug you, steal from you, do whatever to you, stab you in the back, it doesn't matter if it's light or dark, but you somehow try to make these rationalizations and you try to placate me, right? Like, you try to calm me down, you try to make me feel more comfortable, and it really just makes me more angry.
Sometimes what you don't know won't hurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So anyway, my learn is that we handle these situations in very different ways. And also, I have learned that we have been very, very lucky to not, knock on wood, had anything really bad happen to us on this trip thus far.
Trip's not over, gang.
But, you know, we've been a lot of places that mom said don't go there. And tour guide said don't cross the street. And we've done all those things. And
we survived.
We have.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for us. Address Unknown, episode 32, our time in Colombia. Oh, guys, it's coming up.
After that, what?
We go to Central America.
Panama.
We have made it to Central America, guys. Mm-hmm. We continue up through the land bridge that is Central America, filled with volcanoes and waterfalls.
So much.
Just great time surfing and some good funny stories and food experiences, I think. So we will get into
more to come.
All of that.
Yep. Until next time. Bye.